friends out there as well. We're just seeing a large attendance coming, watching. And so if you need a Bible, please call us. We'll get you a Bible or whatever you need. Amen?
Amen.
But praise God for them. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. The history of the alphabet. Maybe some of you didn't know that there is actually a historical aspect to the alphabet in every letter to the alphabet. It's so amazing. I never thought there was, but I started this study months ago when we were doing this series on the alphabet of God. And I've been getting into the alphabet, the English alphabet, understanding a little bit about it that I never understood before. For instance, fun fact, about 100 languages use the same alphabet like in English, which makes it one of the most widely used alphabets in the world. Some of them have less letters, others have more, but we all have that core 23 letters that we use in the Roman alphabet. And I didn't know this, the 26 letters of the English alphabet make up more than 40 distinct sounds. So you're going to have one sound for a C for one word and another sound for a C if it's a different word. I had no idea that there were 40 different sounds. The most common used letter in the English language is E. And the longest, or the dot over the I, is called a tittle. How many of you knew that?
Tittle?
Yeah, the little dot above the I and above the J is called a tittle. I never knew that. Did you know that? Oh, you knew it. Okay, praise God. The longest word in English has 45 letters. Now, you got it up there, right? Somebody try to pronounce that, please. Pneuma ultrascopic.
Chronosis.
No. Pneuma ultrascopic. Go ahead. Well, you can figure it out. Take a picture of it and bring it home. You can do it later. It's actually a type of lung disease. It's an incredible word. But I don't know if you knew this. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founding fathers, he had this notion that he wanted to get rid of the English alphabet and create a new alphabet, the phonetic, I think it was alphabet. And he created that actually in 1768. But in his alphabet, he was going to eliminate the letters C, J, Q, W, X, and Y. So Carolyn wouldn't be here with her name, C, maybe with a K. Quincy or William, the word yes, we wouldn't have that. Xylophone or other things. And then the letter J. He was going to get rid of the letter J.
Wow.
John!
Yeah.
He was going to get rid of me.
Oh my Lord.
Now, fortunately, in Italian, I'm really G-I-A-N. Gian Pietro di Giorgio. A nice Jewish name, but it starts with a G. But in English, my parents were going to call me, you know, they said, put a J on there too for John, just in case, so we make this guy English. But he was going to get rid of the J. Could you get rid of the letter J? Seriously. I don't know if you know this, but J was the last letter to be added to the English alphabet. Did you know that? Somebody said this, from its humble beginnings as a Roman numeral, because that's what it was in the beginning, to its eventual 10th position in the English alphabet, J has quite a linguistic journey. Now, I don't want to brag, but if it had not been for an Italian, you would not have the letter J today. John, see, that's the way it's actually spelled in Italian. Gian Giorgio Tresino. He was an Italian Renaissance grammarian. He was the first one to distinguish between the letter I and J. And he was actually the first one to look at the word Jesus in Greek, which is Iesus, starts with an I, right? Iesus in Greek. And he changed that to a J. So we owe the name Jesus, American version now that we talk about, modern version, to this Italian guy. Can somebody say praise the Lord? Can somebody say thank you, Lord, for the Italian? All right, all three of you who clap will get a reward later. The rest of you are going to have to meet with Aldo and Angelo. Praise God. So he was the first one to distinguish the letter J, and he brought this into existence. And he was the one, like I said, to actually bring about the name of Jesus in a J. But it's interesting that that combination that was done, or that linguistic change from I to J in 1524, never made its way to England until much later. How many of you ever heard of the 1611 version of the King James Bible? Anybody ever hear that?
No.
Okay, so that's the 16. That was one of the very first English Bibles that was translated into English. And what that was 1611. And what's interesting is, you can see it right here, this is the original front page of the 1611 version, and it's the King James version. Do you see the way they spell James? It's not with a J, is it? It's an I. That's the way they used to write it. So we didn't even have the J into existence yet in 1611. And then you see the way they write Jesus? With a little red, it's I-E-S-V-S, but that was Jesus. That's the way it was written. I went and I looked up the original. You can't see it on the screen, but it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? So you might be asking, what's the big deal, Pastor John? Why this big sting about the letter J? Well, we've seen that the letter J never even came into existence in the English language until much later on. And beside that, I want you to have a revelation today. Maybe you never heard it before, but Jesus was Jewish. He was born in Israel. He was born, as the prophet Micah said, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, he was going to be born in Israel. He was born to individuals who were Jewish. And when Matthew writes the account of Jesus, he says that this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. Thank you, sir. But does he use the name Jesus? Originally, in Hebrew, his name is, anybody can say that?
Yeshua.
Yeshua. Say it with me. Yeshua.
Yeshua.
So originally, his name, when they addressed him, was not Jesus. In Greek, like I said, it's Jesus. But in the Aramaic, in the Hebrew language, when they addressed Jesus, they would address him as Yeshua. And Matthew was Jewish and writing to a Jewish audience. When the angel Gabriel came to Joseph in a dream, he didn't come and talk about Jesus. He said, Yosef, that's actually Joseph in Hebrew. Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take who? Mary, her real name in Hebrew, Miriam. You know what Miriam means?
Devil.
Rebel.
Rebel. Rebel.
Wow, how would you like to have that for a name? Hey, rebel.
Rebel.
Don't be afraid to take Miriam home with you as your wife, for what has been conceived in her is from the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. You're getting Hebrew lessons today. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him what?
Yeshua.
Yeshua, not Jesus. We didn't get the J until probably the 1800s, late 17 maybe, hundreds, until it came here. So his name is Yeshua. Say it one more time, Yeshua.
Yeshua.
Which means Adonai, or the Lord saves, because he will save his people from their sins. Why is it so important that we distinguish between Jesus and Yeshua? Why? Well, I went online and I figured, let me see what the dictionaries out there are saying about Jesus. I want to know, what does Jesus mean? Right? So I went to dictionary.com. Jesus, also called Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, born 4, possibly B.C., crucified A.D. 29, possibly ? The source of the Christian religion. Well, that doesn't tell me what his name means. It just tells me who he was, this individual that existed. Merriam-Webster, Jesus, the Jewish religious teacher whose life, death, and resurrection as reported by the evangelists are the basis of the Christian message of salvation called also Jesus Christ. That's great. We're talking about who this person is. They're describing who this person is, but they're not telling me what the name Jesus means. Cambridge Dictionary. Jesus, the man believed by his religious followers to be the Son of God. Christianity is based on his life and teachings as a Savior. Right? That's great. That's telling me about the person, but it's not telling me anything about what his name means. And do you know that every one of you here has a meaning behind your name? Now, if we go back to John with a J, okay, it means God's gracious gift. Aren't you happy to have me here today? Right? All of you, Carolyn's name means melody. And she can be melodious at times. Right? Different names have different meanings. And, you know, I looked at my mother, Fortunata, and her name. Name meant the fortunate one. I love getting into people's names to understand. Danielle, God is judge, okay? Everybody has a name and everybody has a meaning attached to your name. And it's not by coincidence that you have the name that you have. I really believe that with all of my heart. And you should really, if you get a chance, go home, go into the, you know, Google or wherever you go. DuckDuckGo is probably even better. But look up what your name means. Now, James, I'm sorry, I won't even go there, but Jacob, I remember we had a member of our church, last church, and his name was Yaakov. And I said, they used to call him Billy. And, I said, because he didn't want to go by the name Yaakov, I guess. And I said, do you know what your name means? Yeah. I said, it means heel catcher. It means, remember Jacob and Esau? When Jacob was coming out, he grabbed the heel of his brother Esau. He pulled him back in and he went. He was kind of a swindler. So I'm sorry if your name is James. My apologies. I didn't make up the meaning. But everybody has a meaning. That's the point of this thing. And there's no greater meaning that you want to understand than what Jesus means. What is the name of Jesus? What is the name of Yeshua? Listen, the angel said right to Joseph, you shall call his name Yeshua, which means what?
Adonai.
The Lord saves, or the Lord is our Savior, because he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You shall call him Jesus, Yeshua. You shall call him Yeshua. Why? Because his name is going to typify exactly the mission that he's going to go and do. His name means that God has come down to earth. It means that God has come to save his people. Save them from what? Save them from their sins. God is salvation. That's why we sing about the name of Jesus. That's why we adore the name of Jesus. That's why we proclaim the name of Jesus, the name of Yeshua, because it is the name of God who came down out of heaven to save his people from their sins. When you tell me it doesn't matter what his name means, I tell you you're wrong, because the name of Jesus is salvation.
Amen.
That's why people call on the name of the Lord to be saved. Oh, there's something special and precious about the name of Jesus. Ever wonder why, since Jesus was given that name, really very few people in other parts of the country and the world will not name someone Jesus, because they hold that name sacred. There was a rabbi, 116 years old, something like that, who, very, very radical rabbi, he wrote a book. And he kept it secret, says, do not open this until I die. And he said, this is going to contain the name of the Messiah. And after he died, all the other rabbis in Israel, Jerusalem, they wanted to find out, what's this name that he held so sacred? What is it that he left and departed his world? Who is going to be the Messiah that is to come into the world? And they opened up the piece of paper and said, his name is Yeshua.
Amen.
His name is Yeshua. This rabbi understood what Yeshua meant. Now, Yeshua comes from another word in Hebrew, a root word, a root meaning. This is very interesting. It's the root word Yasha. And the word Yasha means to deliver from peril, worries, moral troubles, all kinds of evil, to be safe, to be or live in abundance, to liberate, to be in, to set in a wide and open place, to set free, to help, to aid, to rescue, to preserve, to be saved in battle, to be saved from evil, to be victorious, to give victory, to have absolute gain, to conquer. That's all contained in one word. And it's all attached to Jesus. It's all attached to Yeshua. Do you understand that?
Yes.
It's all of this is contained, all of this and more is contained when you call on the name of Yeshua. When you call on the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says over and over and over to call on the name of the Lord. As early as Genesis, we learn at that time people began to call upon the name of the Lord. We're told of the patriarch Abraham, the father of faith, that he moved to the hill country of the Sea of Bethel, east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling, invoking his name, calling on the one who is salvation, calling on the one whose name means deliverance. It is your aid. Hallelujah. To the glory of God. Yeshua, Jesus, God is my Savior. But what does he save you from? Just what that name stands for, Yasha, deliverance. If you need deliverance today, if you have a besetting sin, if you're bound by the devil and you need deliverance, you need to call on the name of Jesus. Why? Because when you call on the name of Jesus, you are calling on the name of the one who can deliver you. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the good news. He has sent me to proclaim liberty. Liberty. Deliverance. To the captives, and the recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord. This is what happens when you call on the name of the Lord. People are bound by drugs and alcohol and every other kind of sin, and they're trying to get out of it themselves. But God says, you've tried and it's not working. Call on the name of Yeshua. Call on the name of Jesus. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, he will bring deliverance. I've seen people bound by alcohol and they've called on Jesus and God supernaturally has delivered them. I've seen people who are bound by alcohol, smoking and all this other kind of stuff. They called on the name of Jesus and there was deliverance.
Thank you.
Drugs, prostitution, you name it, whatever besetting sin, they call on the name of the Lord and they're set free. Amen?
Amen?
God has come to deliver you. That's what's contained in the name of Jesus. When you call on Jesus, you are asking God for his aid, his help to deliver you. And he will come through. Can somebody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
David said this, and I love this, in the Hebrew. Listen to this. He said this in Psalm 62, verse 2. My soul waits in silence for God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and salvation. And the word there in Hebrew for salvation is Yeshua. So right there in the Old Testament, David is crying out saying, you are my rock and you are my Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? Right there in the Hebrew. I won't be moved, glory to God. He wants you to live in abundance. He wants you to experience the fullness of life. That's why he's come. That's what's contained in his name. Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Another translation says, my purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. Do you ever wonder why so many people are moping around so sad, so crying all the time, like they have no purpose in life? They have no joy. They get the cars. They get the money. They get the accolades. They get the position. They get all of these things, yet they're at the verge of committing suicide. Why? There's no satisfaction. There's no point of living anymore because they feel they have no purpose in life. You know what they need to do? They need to call on the one who gives them purpose and who gives them life and who will fill them with overflowing love and grace and purpose in their own lives. That's what the name of Jesus does. We were singing about it. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Amen. How about your help? Or how about healing? You call on the name of Jesus and he will come down and he will heal you as well. That's what's contained in that name, healing. There was a man named blind Bartimaeus. And Jesus was walking with his disciples. They were walking by. And this blind man understood that it was Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua. And what does he do? The Bible says when he heard that it was Yeshua from Nazareth, or Jesus from Nazareth, he started shouting, calling on the name of the Lord. He said, Yeshua, Jesus, Son of David, have pity on me. Now, what do you think Jesus does when he hears you crying out in desperation? Does he turn and say, you know what? I'm not listening to you. You're hopeless. You're blind. There's no use for your living. What did Jesus do? Jesus stopped and he said to his disciples, go get him. And they brought him to Jesus. And he says, what do you want me to do? He says, I'm blind. I need sight. That man was touched and Jesus healed him immediately. Amen. That's what happens. This man was shouting, calling on the name of who?
Yeshua.
Not the doctor.
Yeshua.
On the name Jesus. Of Yeshua. Doctors are wonderful. Doctors are good. Right? Nurses are wonderful. Nurses are good. But our first inclination should not be to them, but should be for who?
Jesus.
You call on the name of the Lord for your help, right? I think I told you this last time, but early on when I was born again, condition similar to this, I was driving down the road and suddenly the car started to turn and I didn't know what to do, but I just screamed, Jesus! And I probably said it louder than that. And immediately the car turned back as if there were two angels or his hand, literally just took it like that and set me on a right course.
Thank you.
That's what the name of Jesus does. Amen. I love this. Peter and John, they were going to the temple one time. And as they were approaching the temple, there was a man who was thrown there every single day, collecting alms, begging for alms. And when Peter and John saw him, Peter fastened his eyes on him and he said, silver and gold have I not, but such as I have give I unto you. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, rise up and walk. And immediately that man was cured. He got up and he began shouting and praising and jumping and leaping in the temple. That's what the name of Jesus does. He called out in the name of Jesus. Later on, Peter and John were being hassled by the religious leaders. And Peter came back and said, it wasn't us. He said this, through faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man has been healed. And you know how crippled he once was. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes. Completely, utterly, and totally. Faith in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Listen, forgiveness is found in the name of Jesus as well. The apostle Peter said, turn from your sin, return to God, and each of you be immersed or baptized in the name or on the name or the authority of Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, into the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as well. The apostle Paul said, do you not know that unrighteous people will have no share in the kingdom of God? Don't delude yourself, people who engage in sex before marriage, who worship idols, and we're talking about habitually engaging in sex before marriage, habitually worshiping idols, who habitually engage in sex after marriage with someone other than their spouse, that's adultery, who engage in activity, active or passive homosexuality, who steal, who are greedy, who get drunk, who assail people with contemptuous language, who rob. He says, none of them shall share in the kingdom of God. That's not me speaking. That's the Holy Spirit speaking. That's the Bible, not me. So if you get convicted about any of these things and you feel guilty,
I'm not making the guilt come on top of you. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you're engaging in these things habitually over and over and over again, I didn't say it, the Word of God says it, you have no part in the kingdom of God. You're lost.
Amen.
I didn't say that. The Apostle Paul said that. And I don't know about you, but he says this afterwards. But some of you used to do these things. Used to do these things. You used to be stealing. You used to be robbing. You used to be swindling. You used to do this and you used to do that. You used to do this. But now you are washed by the atoning sacrifice and blood of Christ. You were sanctified and set apart for God and made holy. You were justified, declared righteous before God, not guilty before God. In the name of who?
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, the Messiah and the Spirit of our God. Let me tell you something. There's something about that name.
Amen.
And when you call about that name, He will come in and He will change your life. Hallelujah. He will do something dramatic in you, so much so, but it's all because you're calling on the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! I feel the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
When you call on Him, He'll change you. Do you need to be saved from a battle?
Yep.
You need to call on the name of the Lord. Again, Old Testament, didn't even realize it, that the name of Jesus is in the Old Testament. He said, and I'm speaking this to somebody here who needs to get through a battle, you will have no need to fight in this battle. Take your position, stand firm, and behold the victory. Behold the Yeshua. Of the Lord on your behalf, for the Lord is with you. Just stand still and see the salvation. Watch Jesus. They didn't even know it, but there's Jesus all over the Old Testament. Yeshua's all over the Old Testament. Some Jewish people say, I don't know Jesus. I don't know. There's no Jesus. Well, there's no J Jesus, but there's Yeshua all over the Old Testament. He's right there in front of your eyes. Do you know that in Isaiah 53 is a passage of scriptures that rabbis today will not read in a congregation. Look it up. It's called the Forbidden Chapters. Even to this day, rabbis will not read from Isaiah 53. Why? Because when they read it, it all points to Jesus. And there was this man, Yitzhak, he put the book together. And it was so amazing. He was able to find encrypted within Isaiah these very words. My name is Yeshua.
Hallelujah.
You can't get away from Jesus. He's all over the place. So even rabbis, when they're reading Isaiah 53, if they will look through it, they will find encrypted within Isaiah 53, Jesus, my name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Woo! God is so smart. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are saved. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Can somebody say the name?
The name.
Say it louder, please.
The name.
Have you called on the name?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeshua.
The Lord is my strength and song. And has become my salvation. Exodus 15:3. That's what the Israelites sang when they experienced the salvation of God walking through the Red Sea. Here we go again. Where's Jesus in the Old Testament? The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my personal salvation, Yeshua. He has become my personal Jesus. Amen? Is He your personal salvation Savior? Have you called on the name of the Lord? Has He changed your life? Have you experienced the reality of who God the Savior is personally? Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be lost.
Saved.
Yasha. Delivered, have aid, have everything you ever desire. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall have life and that more abundantly. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall have and experience deliverances. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall, Yasha, experience help when you need it, rescuing, deliverance, power, preservation through the name of Jesus. Yeshua. Woo! Some people wonder, why do you get so happy and so excited, John? You lived my life before I got saved, and you'd be up here jumping too.
Hallelujah.
If you had people shoot at you, and you almost died a couple times, and you were going to do things that were just, you, I can't say too much because then all of a sudden it calls.
Hallelujah.
You have the chance to call on him now. And if you do, you can become a saint. Or you can call on him later. But at that time, you'll be a sinner. And you'll be bowing down right next to the devil. Because one day, every tongue shall confess. Every knee is going to bow down and say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You're talking about people who are saved. And the devil himself is going to one day bow down, and out of his lips are going to come the word, Jesus, you are Lord.
Hallelujah.
Then he's going to get booted into hell. Mm-hmm. I hope I have some sense on that one. There is salvation in no one else, the Apostle Peter said, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. The righteous, let those who love your salvation, literally, those who love your Yeshua, who love your Jesus, say continually, the Lord be magnified. Can somebody say, the Lord be magnified?
The Lord be magnified.
David said, sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell his salvation. Tell his Jesus day after day. Are you saints of God talking about Yeshua, your Savior, day after day with other people? That's the challenge that the Lord would give to you. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said it this way, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not think it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, and becoming in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of death, even to the cross. Therefore God has also highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on the earth, of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, everything will bow.
Amen.
Of things in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, and every tongue will confess Jesus, you are Lord.
Hallelujah.
To the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah!
Yes.
That's why I said you have the chance now to call on Jesus, or you can call on Jesus in the afterlife. But man, you don't want to call on Jesus and say he's Lord in the afterlife because you'll be sitting with the devil. You can do whatever you want, and you can oppose God all you want, but he's going to chase after you. Just mark my words on that. You will try to run from God like Jonah, but he's going to be after your tail, and he's going to be ahead of you, and he's going to be on every side, and he's going to make sure that he gets you.
Thank you,
if you're not fully surrendered. Amen?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Can you stand, please? Hallelujah. Is in the name of Jesus wonderful?
Yes.
Can I have the musicians back to sing that song, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. Praise God. Father, isn't the name of Jesus wonderful?
Yes.
Lord, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for revealing Jesus to our eyes. Thank you that those who try to oppose Jesus and say he's nowhere to be found in the Old Testament can't argue now, Lord. Your name is all over there. Yeshua is all over the Old Testament. Lord, we thank you that his name is even encrypted in places like Isaiah 53, no escaping the name of Yeshua. Lord, I pray right now for souls who've never committed themselves to you wholeheartedly, for those who've never called on the name of the Lord. Even as Peter said, and as The Old Testament prophets have declared, whoever calls on the name of the Lord, not possibly will be saved, but shall, will be saved. Lord, thank you for the man, the thief on the cross, who just was moments away from death, and he cried out to the Lord, said, Lord, remember me. And as soon as he spoke those words, Jesus, you spoke back and said, today, I assure you, truly, truly, I tell you, that today you will be with me in paradise. Lord, there's people out there who need you, that are desperate, that are hungry. Lord, they've got the cars, they've got the money, they've got the accolades, they've got the positions. Lord, but they're still not satisfied because you are the one who plants eternity on our hearts. And until the Eternal One comes and dwells in that space, there is going to be a constant vacuum, a constant seeking, a constant searching, whether it's in drugs or alcohol or pornography or booze, whatever it is, they're going to try to fill that void. Lord, I'm praying that today would be the day that they call on your name, Jesus.
Amen.
Yeshua, we pray right now in Jesus' name. Your name, come, touch hearts, Lord God. Yeshua, hallelujah. Can you just lift up your hands and just begin to worship that name of Jesus? Hallelujah, Jesus. Yeshua, hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to intervene right now in your name, Jesus. We pray for help for those right now that need healing, that they would call upon your name for healing.
Jesus.
Lord, for those who need deliverance, that they would call upon the name of the Lord for their deliverance. Lord God, show them that you are who you are. Lord God, that you don't change, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, that you are not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
That how you loved and dealt with one person, you love and deal with individuals today. You do not change. You haven't changed. You will not change. Lord God, we pray for your salvation to go out through all the earth. Lord, for those who are watching right now, by way of Facebook, Lord, that they would surrender, that they would call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Oh God, we pray for souls right now. Please, Lord God, save. Lord, they don't know, just like you said on the cross, Jesus, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Lord, so many don't know where they're headed.
Amen.
So Lord, please open up hearts and eyes and minds. Isn't the name of Jesus wonderful? Those that have to leave, we just say, please do so quietly as we just continue to worship the Lord. For others, we just want to give you the benediction and blessing and pray over you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you and smile upon you and let his shalom overtake you. In the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Deliverer, and as we pray, and all God's people say,